8 and 9, to me, the huge priority for this is that you do this with a sponsor. You don't do this by yourself. You don't do it out of sequence either. I've heard, as I mentioned before, some of the other steps are like the only way to do it wrong is to not do it. The way to do this wrong is to do it wrong and hurt someone else. So, we're defective people, basically, or let's say we have defective relations with other people. Part of our whole, and this is just, of course, my perspective as I learned by doing the steps and going to meetings and working with sponsors and working with sponsees. Part of our whole deal, and reading the literature a lot, is that we judge ourselves on our intentions. And it says that in here. We judge ourselves on our intentions. Other people judge us on our actions. Other people have zero idea that we didn't mean to hurt their feelings, that we really intended to show up on time, that we didn't mean to seduce their husband, that whatever. They base their evaluations of us on what it is that we've done or said or how we've interacted with them in this plane of existence. They don't know what's going on up here. They don't know what's going on in here. When I first saw the 8 and 9 steps up there, and I've shared with you guys that I basically dragged myself through these anyway, that was the one that scared me the most. It was like, oh, I gotta like step up and be a solid human being, and there's an accounting for the stuff I've done. Man, I don't want to do that. I'm not into that. I'm not looking forward to that. Don't want to do that. So the first thing that I did was I looked ahead a little bit and said, well, if I'm going to have to do stuff to correct that, let me not add to the heap of my chores, let's say. There's plenty there. So first let's talk about amends. Amends is not a remorseful mumbling of apology. That's not an amends. An amends is actually a correction. An amends, like let's say a constitutional amendment. That is an actual changing of a structure. An amends, it's a compensation for injury or loss. To amend, to change for the better or improve. So that's a different thing than an apology. An amend can include an apology. My amends included apologies. But it was not just a, you know, I'm sorry I was irresponsible. It was, and I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm sorry I borrowed all the money. How about a payment plan? Like, not just I took something of yours and now it's gone. It's how do I create restitution in that? So the way that I did that was first I made a list from my long ass 4-step, which is another book about like this, but it's packed full. So I, you know, when I was in my 4-step, I was like, woohoo, everyone I'm mad at, yes, all my bosses, yes, all my roommates, yes, all there. Anyone I'm related to, yes, there. Well, of course, I didn't know at the time that that was going to become my list of people that I had wronged and owed amends to. You guys remember the show Happy Days? It had Fonzie and Richie and all those guys. So I didn't watch it a whole lot, but I do remember that when Fonzie was in the wrong and someone would be like, listen, you need to, it's like, you know, you were wrong and you need to apologize. You'd be like, I'm sorry. And that's about how like I was like, so just not interested in being, and first of all, being wrong and admitting I was wrong. But I was wrong. I was wrong all the time. So I was also wrong about so many other things that it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, wrong again. Oh, what a shock. Because I was wrong about being an alcoholic, because I wasn't an alcoholic. I was different. You guys didn't understand. I was different and sensitive and traumatized and, you know, whatever, extenuating circumstances. So once I turned out to be wrong about that, it just was able to open the doors on many other things of like, oh, I didn't look at it like that. Oh, all these people I was mad at. Oh, I didn't look at it like that. So I did this with a sponsor, and I broke it down the list into people, places, and institutions that I harmed or owe amends to, which is, you know, financial, a lot of human beings' feelings, relationships that I had with other people. For me, a lot of credit cards. I racked up my credit cards. So part of that was like, well, how do you correct? How do you correct when you owe money? You don't say that, oh, I'm sorry, I owe you money. Give him the freaking money as part of the deal. And if you don't have all the money, you give him some money and make arrangements to give him some more money later. To me, that whole deal is, it's like how my lifestyle was with alcohol. The rapacious creditor. I always want something right now, and I'll deal with the consequences later. I would like to be drunk right now. I'll deal with the hangover, the boss, later. I want the new shirt right now. I'll work hard for it, pay for it later. But I want my thing right now. And I'll, you know, step up and work, whatever. It'll all work out later. That's the whole procrastination issue. But that's a different thing. And part of it is just, you know, I want what I want immediately. Like a, I don't know, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 5-year-old, 16-year-old, some kind of not grown up responsible human being. So I want to tell you guys one thing that kind of knocked my socks off. Part of my my amends process was also figuring out that I owe myself amends for, you know, wasting 17, 18 years of my life. But it was also how much money did my disease cost? And I know that, you know, I know this is a grown-up group. Most people have done the steps all the way. But this was an interesting exercise. So when you think that, you know, you tell yourself whatever, oh, I'm just hurting myself, nobody really cares, and I'll show up, and, you know, well, they're scumbags anyway, so, you know, it doesn't really matter. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was, you know, kind of working class poor, lived in a studio by myself, a lot of drug dealers around. Was, of course, a big victim of life and circumstance. So some people, let's say they go to school, maybe they go to college, they get a job. This is crazy, you guys. Some people put money in the bank and leave it there. They like save up when they want to buy something and they pay for it. They buy like cars and houses and donate to charity and, you know, organizations like that. I always thought that I like wasn't just catching the right breaks and wasn't getting the, wasn't getting the fat promotions and all that. Meanwhile, I was, of course, devoted to many hours of my life drinking and partying, you know. Anyway, how I figured this out with my sponsor was, you know, for how many years did you spend how much money? So for alcohol, for a couple years was like 2 years of $35 a week. 10 years of $140 a week. 5 years of a solid $350 a week. Probably a little bit more than that. If it was like, you know, 70, 80, 100 bucks, buy some drinks, buy some shots for whoever. I was mostly a bar drinker. Not just restricted to bar drinking, of course. There was alcohol in my home and the fridge. I would also drink my employer's alcohol pretty freely. In my story, I did some drugs as well. So that was 2 years at 10 bucks a week. So that was like a couple pills here and there. 2 years at 210 weekly, I was like a little more. 2 years of, let's say, 350 a week. So if you extrapolate that out and do the math, that's $230,000, which is like $250,000. Which is like $250,000 that I worked for decades of my life for and threw in the garbage can. Except I didn't do that. That would have been like probably a better choice, because I took it all out on poisoning myself and taking whatever pill anybody handed me, whatever bag of whatever mysterious chemical. I don't care. Sure, I'll try it. Hey, I'm open-minded. Yeah, give me some of that. I think that it would be cool to have $250,000. I don't. These people that work and put their money in the bank and leave it there and maybe have a, you know, modest budgeting and things like that. Invest their stuff. That's cool. I didn't do that. I chose a different route. I chose, right? No, I did that, but I did figure it out of what, you know, what are the costs? What's the cost? That's the cost. That's kind of, to me, that's a big cost. Like there's, you know, I tell myself that whatever, oh, it's just me and no one really knew. I worked pretty hard, honestly. I worked hard to get wasted, to work hard to get wasted, to get over working so hard to get wasted. And I think you guys know the cycle of it all, because here we all are in this room. So let's talk a little bit more about SIP. So we read this like every meeting, pretty much. But it's almost like the beginning thing, right? How do you really hear it anymore? I don't. Park where you're supposed to park. Be a considerate human being. It's not all about you. What? It's all about me. By the way, thanks for giving me the opportunity to do this, because then I can look at my own stuff and go, oh, have I been thorough? Did I make amends? Am I willing to make amends to everyone? How wrong have I been? If we are painstaking, that means taking pains. I don't like to take pains. I like to feel nothing at all. Preferably, I like to feel happy or, you know, no pressure, no discomfort. And I like to do that the easy way too, by the way, in the form of a couple shots, a couple pills, like that. I'm like a jellyfish inside. I don't want to feel tender and delicate. We will be amazed before we are halfway through. That's halfway through the amends process. That's, for me, all the lists, all the finances, all the institutions, all the human beings. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. That's brand new. That's not like recycled. That's not what I used to have. That's not what I hoped for. Not factory refurbished. Not my old idea of what that was. Like brand, like sparkling, I can't even imagine. Like people come in and they go, this is beyond my wildest dreams. Well, of course it is. Because we only have, you know, knowledge of what we already know that's going on in here. We don't know what God's will is and what who he's going to put in our lives, how those things are going to work out. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. And I kind of wrestled with that one, because I have a lot of stuff that I'm actually pretty ashamed about, pretty embarrassed about. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. So, like, that's all okay. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. So me being a lying, cheating, husband-stealing, late, resentful, lying, drunk person, helps other people. Me coming to a meeting after drinking and telling you guys about it helps you. It actually helps me too, but that's my experience that I need to not actually close the door on, because it might help somebody in here who would go like, oh, so you couldn't admit that either, or you know, you didn't think other people were really alcoholics. No, that happened. I did that. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. That for me happened mostly when I came to AA and people said, hey, can you read this? Can you do the chips? Can I have your phone number? Like, that was my beginning back into society. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. So maybe it's not all about me. Secretly, I still don't, but maybe it really is. Maybe it is. Self-seeking will slip away. When I'm not seeking my own will, it's actually a fairly satisfactory way of life somehow. Like they say, in seeking happiness, that's not how you find happiness. You find happiness by providing others with happiness, whether it's service or assistance, charity. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. My whole attitude and outlook upon life has definitely changed since I came in here. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. So part of that's because I have gone to members of my family and said, listen, you know about that money that you loaned me? I'm really sorry, I was an active alcoholic. And I'm sorry that I disappointed you. I don't have all the money right now. Here's $40. I would like to send you a check until I repay you. And they go, wow. Like, that's not the usual bunch of bullshit excuses of I don't have it and things happened. It's like, here's what I promised you and there's more to come. So then you can look those people in the eye again and you don't have to be like, there's my Aunt Martha, I owe her money. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. That's kind of a trippy thing. To me, intuition is like this, it's kind of this feeling inside. It's like this sense of, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? It's different than just being terrified and nervous and paranoid all the time of what other people think about me. It's kind of more like there's a saying, do the next right thing. Which sounds sort of like kind of easy and kind of autopilot. And there's more vigorous ways of saying that. It's like, what is God's will for me to do? That's the real question. And then you ask that of yourself. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. God can do freaking anything. And he's got plans, and you know, he created us for a reason. The Bible talks about, part of the whole reason why we even do amends is the Bible talks about when you go to God and you have an issue with your brother, could be your actual sister for me, but you know, they say when you go to God, straighten out whatever it is between you and the other person and then go to God. God wants you to do what you can do, I think, and then go to God for like more of it. But we know that we're supposed to clean up our mistakes, and we know that we're supposed to pay back the money, and we know that we're supposed to apologize for having done wrong, and then we're supposed to not do wrong anymore either. I still do sins and selfish things and have little attitudes and stuff in sobriety. So that's why I get to work, have a 10th step though, because I don't want to let that pile back up into a heap of stuff, because then I'll have a whole bunch of feelings about that too. I'll feel guilty and remorseful and ashamed. And you know how tender and delicate I am inside. I don't like to feel that way. You know what helps you change that feeling really quick? Really quick? A couple shots. Maybe a pill. Gone. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They're being fulfilled among us. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. So I hear all the time, like, you know, people in meetings are like, sometimes slowly, sometimes, sometimes really super slowly. Well, are you doing a ninth, are you like doing your ninth step? If you're doing your ninth step, these are the promises of the ninth step. Everything else in here has been true, to the best of my knowledge. It's all about, you know, clearing up the defective relations with others. Because I've been extremely selfish and self-centered and delusional about that. We take a look backward and try to discover where we have been at fault. Next, we make a vigorous attempt to repair the damage we have done. And third, we consider how, with our newfound knowledge, we may develop the best possible relations with every human being we know. This is a very large order. It's a task which we may perform with increasing skill, but never really finish. Learning how to live in the greatest peace, partnership, and brotherhood with all men and women of whatever description is a moving and fascinating adventure. It's a moving and fascinating adventure. There's just a whole another point of view that you get when you come in Alcoholics Anonymous. To me, it starts here, and then we can take this, you know, out there and be of useful service to other people, whether it's in our family lives, our business, our service organizations. It's you know, it's kind of like, what does God want? God wants me to clean up the wreckage of my past. Never harming another human being while we do that, by the way. If you have specific questions about how to do this, I would recommend that you get with your sponsor and ask them. And not like never try to jump ahead and just, you know, a confession to somebody else is different than an amends. A confession can be harmful to them. Like, I've just heard about guys, you know, being like, oh yeah, I picked up my white chip and then I told my wife I had been cheating on her the whole time. And there's like, and they're there with like a little baby in a stroller. And I'm like, oh man, you're just, no, that's not how you do it. But, you know, we're here to guide each other and help each other. And that's part of the deal. Anyway, that's way enough for me. Thank you guys.